When the world turns against you, at least there's a backup. Welcome to Fate and Fotune. For those who've joined us for the first time, Fate and Fotune takes place at the turn of the 20th century, where sword and steel meets magic and monsters. We're using Weird Games' Through the Breach role-playing system. I'm your Fate Master, Danny, and today's Fated are...
Jed, as Julius Ignis. Matt, playing Sapper Carlson.
And Nate, as Owen Gunn.
Whether our cast meets their fate, or find themselves in good fortune, we do hope you enjoy today's tale. Weightlessness was a new sensation to Sapper Morton. His previous career had taken him to political negotiations in Paris, a private funeral in Hong Kong, and even to the quarantine city of Toledo, or what was left of it following the sea of undead that had effectively removed Spain from the map. And he had hoped that his retirement from it would be holding much less newness. The open tin can that just moments ago resembled a train carriage hurtled now, unobstructed, through the blackness of the Great Breach. Only a sharp jolt of indescribable colour lighting the remains of the cabin, flashing against Julius, the budding mage whose mouth was characteristically screaming explicits, and reached for his lucky coin that had slipped his clammy grasp. Sapper's adrenaline was already through the open roof, and in the time-split seconds he had to spare, a militant plan was set in motion. He found himself pulling the padded suitcases from their holds either side of his broad shoulders, and tucked them under his mask. Owain Gunn, the brutish drunkard that still seemed sharp as a tack, had already prepared himself, pinning their last companion, Thomas Elliot, against a seat to brace for the inevitable. And as the frigid darkness of No Man's Land enveloped them, that inevitability came. The space between each world was filled with absence. The only warmth emanating from the glare at the swirling portal, and the various small fires that had been born from the remains of the saloon carriage. Sapper stood and poured the gravel from a boot, miraculously unscathed from the landing. The path ahead was little but tracks guiding into the void. Though the return journey seemed an unlikely event, what with the walking myth tearing the city apart and all. The minor groans of his cohorts indicated that he could breathe out, and as he did, the vapour crystallised before his eyes. This was not going to be an easy trip.
Oh.
Sapper, you are the first one to have arisen from the wreckage. You can hear some groans around you.
Oh God, where's the boy?
Oh, I'm here. I'm just over here. Thank you, Sapper. I didn't know that you were thinking about me. Oh, man, that was heavy. Oh, like cultists, I'm telling you. Oh, I hate them, some of them things like this.
Oh. You do see a little hand poke itself up where Thomas clearly is, just politely announcing his presence.
Next time I try to do something heroic like that, can you, kindly just tell me to stop being an idiot.
I mean, Owain, I thought lowly of your affairs, but actually, you know, you've sacrificed your life a few times for a kid. I gotta say, you're a good guy. Maybe close to being as good as Sapper.
Julius, do us a favor, man. First of all, pass me a drink. And second of all, that mouth of yours, kindly just close it.
Well, you did say kindly. Gotta say.
Thomas frees himself from the wreckage that was still on top of him, and he staggers to his feet. Obviously, where you last left him, there was a wooden beam that had cut off some of his nerves in his leg, so he's limping as he's pulling himself together. And collectively, you all notice just how unbelievably cold it is here. It's almost like being in space. It's so, so cold. So we're going to do a thing called a hypothermia check.
Ooh.
Can you each make a target number 9 toughness challenge, please?
There we go. 9 of crows.
Mm-hmm. Don't believe you've got a negative toughness value, have you?
Toughness, -2.
Bystand corrected. Well, okay. So you failed. We'll go through everyone else and then we'll go through the after effects.
Boom. 12.
And a 2 plus a 3.
So a 5. Okay. You are welcome to cheat this, anyone that has failed.
Yeah, I've got an 8 of crows, I think it is.
So you have passed. Julius, are you wanting to cheat as well?
No, I'm struggling. Fine. Yeah.
The bite of the breach's air seizes each of you, a gentle movement in the air exuding from the portal that churns behind you, but all heat is sapped from it as the light's reach fades. You will suspect that if you are to spend any more time here, you'll want to wear something more than what you had been under the New Mexico sun. Julius, however, the chill is unlike anything you have felt before, an emptiness sucking the temperature from your skin, as if some great beast is actively drawing it from you to feed. You're now going to suffer 1-1-2 damage as you struggle to stave off the shakes.
Okay. Now, were my wounds from last time, did they recover all the way back up, just to make
sure? Nope. Your wounds are staying where they are.
So, that was 3 out of 4. Oh, okay. There we go. It's a 1.
Sure. That's fine, yeah, so just 1 damage for yourself. And you've each gained a stack of frostbite. This is whether you passed or failed, you automatically get this. So any time you take damage from cold, which can include hypothermia or any magic that would use ice, you are suffering an extra 1 damage.
Ooh.
And this is stackable, so the longer you are cold, the worse an ice attack's going to do to you. So if you fail this a second time, it's going to be 2-2-3.
Is there any other survivors right now?
Do you want to have a look around?
Yeah, can I have a look around and see if there's any survivors or just what to see out?
Yeah, take a notice check.
5 of crows.
What's your notice?
0. So it's just flat 5.
Sure, so what I would say is, while you are looking around, you actually hear a spluttering of coughs. There's not many sounds going on here anyway, so it's quite easy to pick this up. So this sound leads to a portion of folded steel that shifts as a person that it's impaled is struggling. This towering man bears a large metal collar around his neck, lying beneath a portion of the wreckage. He's got blood stain on his grey striped jumpsuit.
What is it? Is there anything to see? Any groans? Are a lot of people alive, or are they just? Is it just
you
silent?
You don't see anyone else. There's bodies.
Probably the cold's got to them by now.
Yeah, quite possibly. You can't be too sure exactly how long you guys were unconscious. But from what you can see, most of them are kind of bloodied bodies rather than frozen.
Could I try and light a fire with some of the wreckage?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So yeah, while you're looking to start the fire, are you just leaving this guy here?
How scary does he look?
So I'd say you'd notice that a grey striped jumpsuit means he was a convict. Of sorts, and the metal collar around his neck doesn't appear to be a fashion item.
And he's still breathing, maybe?
Yeah. That's how you kind of recognise that he's been coughing and there's movement of this metal piece.
Okay, before I start putting a fire, I'll get a fire going first, actually, just to get myself warm, and then I might try and make conversation with him over a campfire.
Are you wanting to use your magic for making that, or?
Yeah, just grab some scraps of wood, like a door, or maybe if I can see any like splinters, put them together. And...
yeah, there's. I mean, to be honest, there's already little fires around. You could just huddle by if you wanted to. The like I say, some of the wreckage has already caught fire.
No, I'll make my own fire.
Okay.
I wanna try this. You know, I can make fire. I don't need any wreckage fire. You know. Okay. Here we go.
So you're intentionally using your magic, Julius, that you have
yes,
to make a fire.
I just grabbed the coin. It's all the coin. The coin does it all.
Okay.
Here we go. So I just breathe in deep. Breathe into the coin. And then try and... Firstly, I'll put some scrap together. Like some old wood pieces. Try and get like a little pyramid shape of scraps. And then just going to try and throw fire on it. From the coin.
Sure.
Here we go.
Cast that spell.
Two of crows.
However, I know for a fact that you've got stat of six and a target number of five as standard for just the bog standard spell. So this isn't any issue at all. You can automatically light that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You set a small fire. It's nothing too fancy. I mean, to be honest, you can see some of the flames around you are possibly bigger than the one that you've created, but. You are very conscious that you have done this.
I overestimated how much I could do.
You got cocky about that built-in tomes, didn't you?
No. But Julius was like, I'm just going to, you know, I threw fire at people before. But yeah, no, this was, okay. I'll huddle towards it. Can I start to talk to the guy?
You can. What I will say is we'll move on quickly to Sapa and Owain first. So, you two, you can see this absolute sprawl of train wreckage. I mean, it's filled with still most of the luggage that the passengers had. And as Julius has rightly done, you know, getting yourselves warm is probably a good priority.
Ooh. Right. I don't know about you, Sapper, but I'm going to go over to one of those fires.
That's a fine idea.
I've got a fire over here, guys.
Yes, well done, and you enjoy your fire.
It's really
big. Deserve that, because you've made it yourself, so you deserve that.
It's really warm, you know. It's really warm. Yeah, I'm so hot right here, you know.
Yes, well, sure.
Best fire ever. It's the best.
Owain, as you move over to this new fire, you feel the whistling wind over the wreckage cut off. The flames here undeterred in their mission to consume. Huddling closely, the tingling sensation from the cold fades from your fingers, and the return of the familiar tingling from your alcoholism kicks back in. As the beer, or I guess gin, jacket gets its support from the flames, your eyes settle on a glint under a sheet of metal, easily recognised as a gun barrel.
Pick that up.
So this is a US&E pump action shotgun. I'll just throw the deets into the chat.
Sapper.
Is this
something you're interested in?
I was looking for the boy, but I believe I saw his hand earlier.
I think he's fine. He's headed towards the fire. It'll be fine.
He's crawled out of the wreckage and he's propped himself up.
Danny, what do we see when we look out of the windows?
The windows are on the floor. You're in shards of the carriage. It's not enclosed anymore.
Okay.
It's just kind of spilled wreckage around you, really. I mean, most of you, the time your feet are on the ground, it's on gravel.
Okay.
If you're looking kind of outwards... There's a bit of a glare coming from the breach that seems to be dulling anything else out there. You can see almost nothing. There's the tracks beneath you that effectively shoot off into the darkness. You can't see anything beyond the small radius around you at the moment.
I'll have a look around for some warm clothes, perhaps, or anything that could be fashioned into... warmer clothes.
I would say give me a notice check to see what you find. I'll also allow you athletics if you prefer, simply for the fact that most of the containers are already popped open, like briefcases and things. with the impact, so it's more just, yeah, throwing things out your way.
We'll definitely go for athletics. So that is a 9 of masks plus 3 for athletics.
For 12. Oh, wonderful. Okay, you got quite a few things that you can find here, actually. So you find some padded clothing, enough for each of you. And this clothing seems to have been designed for mountain climbing. With the general news updates of the other world that reached Earth, you're quite aware of a mountain range known as the Northern Peaks that attracts those who've already conquered Earth's greatest monuments and are looking for a fresh challenge. And these, though partially shredded, look to be warm enough to combat the majority of the cold you'll face here.
Okay. I'll go round handing those out to the three of us, four of us.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Sapper.
You also see a briefcase with quite a sturdy lock. And there's a faint light coming from within that you can see just spilling from the cracks in the case's aging leather seal. It doesn't appear to be generating any heat when you move your hand over it, but there's something about it that almost lures you across.
I'm going to open that.
So, like I say, there is a pretty sturdy lock on it. You're welcome to try and do the smash, if you will. But you can also attempt a lockpick and duel, either one you prefer. So,
yeah, I think given the conditions, the time for the fine fiddly workers is not quite there. So I'll just try and like bash it open.
Sure, no problem. What I will say is, because of the delicacy of the contents, if you fail this, you may break what's inside.
Okay, that's fine.
Sure.
I'm good with that. So that's athletics again.
This will just be a standard attack, so whatever your attack would be.
Ooh, okay. Ooh.
Ooh, Red Joker! Kind of sad that we've already got through it, but a 19 will absolutely perfectly just cleave off the lock almost in a perfectly delicate manner with such an accurate swing that it just shriep, chops off the lock almost as if it was never there, with no damage to the briefcase at all.
Beautiful.
This briefcase opens up, and inside you find what can only be described as a cheesily obvious grimoire.
Ooh.
So this looks almost like a cartoon spellbook, which, considering the ones that you yourself have experienced so far, being a coin and some ominous scratchings on a asylum cell wall,
yeah.
This seems weirdly out of character for being so in character.
Okay.
As soon as you pop this lid open, the light retracts into the book.
I'm going to take the book, maybe have a look through it later when the light's a bit better or
we've
got more time to process it.
Sure. You don't seem to find too much else. There is a lighter, if you'd like to take that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it seems like a relatively new one might have been even bought at the last market.
Okay.
So that would just be a free action to use. If it's already in your hand.
I'll add that to my inventory.
And last of all, you find money!
Cha-ching! Woo.
Cha-chingo!
Yeah, in amongst the corpses and all the pockets from the dead, you find some scrip. So
money.
Do you want to flip for me? Just a very simple flip to find out how much scrip this is going to be.
4 of masks.
So a week, would you like to cheat this at all?
Is it too early on to be burning my second? Yeah, you know what, sort it, let's go for it. I'm going to flip a 10 of crows.
You do manage to find 7 whole scrip, which is quite a bit of cash. That's about 140 quid for us.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow, that's not bad. Are you good? The might see.
Brill. But that's just about everything that you find.
Excellent. Yeah, like I say, I'll just go around handing out like the warm clothes to survivors.
Sure, absolutely. So yeah, you're handing these out, and you do come across, as you're handing out Julius, is this man that's got this metal rod sticking out of him.
Oh, that don't look too good.
No, it don't look good. I mean, this man, yes, he's dressed clearly as a convict that must have escaped the holding cells of the train and boarded this carriage just before the Haramatanji had swiped this one through and destroyed his former one. And as you're looking at it, you would recognise that the ring around his neck is something called a control collar, a band of metal that's imbued with a type of magic. If the wearer attempts to cast any spell without the order of its key holder, the device will detonate, which likely removes at least the majority of the bearer's head.
Okay. I say, boy, what's your name?
He kind of like starts to open his mouth, but you can see he's completely pale. Just as he catches your eyes and begins to mutter like his consciousness slips away from him. He's still breathing, but they're quite ragged. And you can see, as you're looking at him, there's still blood spreading a little bit.
I'm going to do what I can to try and stop the bleeding, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a doctor role?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, he's kind of stuck where he is. So I'd say I'd say a doctor check for, or possibly engineering, to see what you would need to do to help stop the raid in advance, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go for doctor. That is a 10 plus 4, 14.
Well, yeah, absolutely. If you can dislodge the steel from either side, you don't want to remove this bar at all, but it would be good to keep it in him, but allow him to move a bit more.
Okay.
So if you were to maybe smash or bend the metal in any way from one end.
Did you say smash, Danny?
I did say smash, didn't I? one could give it a good old smash. Just try and dislodge it from any of the rubble around him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to lean over him and say, now, boy, I had a good friend who was a field medic, and I'm going to say you're going to bleed out unless I help you. Now, this is going to hurt like hell.
He groans, but falls into full unconsciousness, so you got a feeling it's not going to hurt him too much.
Okay. I will take my hammer and, as delicately as possible, kind of smash what I need to free him.
Sure.
So that's a plus 5 to this. 7 plus 5. 13?
13? 12, I think.
12, 12, 12, yeah.
12 still fine. Yep, big ol' smash. Yeah, no problem. You manage to break him free, and I'd say with a 12 as well, it actually manages to shatter a bit of the pipe where it had already pinched previously.
Okay.
So if he were to stand up now, obviously he's still in quite a bad way, he would be able to move about, even with this little bit still sticking in him. Yeah.
I'm going to help him over to the fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I wouldn't make you a flip for that. I think that's perfectly fine. You can just drag him over to the fire and get him to start warming up. Julius, will you take a doctor check on him as well, please?
I was just going to say that. There we go. Two of tomes. Can I cheat in a 9 of tomes?
9 of tomes, yeah. So what's the grand total for you there?
So that is 15.
15, bro. So you can tell that he's going to make it if you do something quick. You recognise that if you were to cauterize the wound with your fire, you'd be able to stop the bleeding. From what you can tell, the bar hasn't gone through any of his major organs, but the blood loss is still quite certainly an issue.
Okay.
You may need to perform surgery if he's to survive.
Okay. Sapper, he might not make it. We could get him stable, but without any medical attention, he's not gonna make it.
Well, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Okay, let's get him near the fire then. I got some... If he starts screaming, I've got some extra... I still have. Can I check my pockets for the medical... for the opium-type supplies that I got from shop before we left on the train?
You did get opium, didn't you?
I got some... I think I got some medical supplies as well. I just need to...
Yeah, you got some from the warehouse at the start.
Yeah.
You found some that were doing good. Yeah, I mean, those painkillers will definitely help him here. They won't do much to restore. Yeah, I mean, he's passed out currently. I wouldn't say painkillers will help with the blood loss, but when he comes to, they'll definitely help.
Okay, that's good. So I won't give it to him straight away, and then if he's just passed out. I'll just get him near the fire, and then I'm just going to, operate on him. Should I flip for any of the operations that I do?
Yeah, so...
excuse me, you're gonna sterilize that?
I mean, I don't have any sterile... I can put it over the fire, but, I mean, do you have any, of course you have alcohol. Could you lend me some of the alcohol?
Well, you've got to have the strong stuff for this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you could give me your blood. It's probably just as sterile with the amount of alcohol content in it. Excuse me,
I take offense to that. I'll have you know.
I'm just saying you're a clean guy. That's it.
I have no problem.
I doubt any diseases living inside
with
you.
The ladies, I have no problem in maintaining my, shall we say, very delicately, my ability in the bedroom.
Okay, we don't have time here, okay? Could I just have, I'm not saying you get this, you know, thing that most men gentlemen get when they drink whiskey, but, you know, I'm not saying that. Of course not. I would never upset that.
Julius Ignis said, we don't have much time here. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, can we please hurry?
Is this the same Julius who then spoke for 5 minutes?
No. I'm just trying to carry this along, you know? Come on.
I mean, I'm holding out a bottle of rum now.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. I was just thinking about, you know, I was going to say you never get whiskey problems. Anyway, yes, there we go. I just covered the surgical tools quickly with it. I'm just pulling out my pocket one by one. And then I'm just going to start pulling out the object and then try and close any bleeding that comes out of it.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to perform surgery. So you make a doctor challenge at target number currently going to be 12.
Oh, yeah. Doctor challenge 12. It's okay.
Is there any way for me to assist on this?
Yeah, so the way assist works in this, you can add any ranks you have in a skill to his, so not the AV, the specific ranks. I think you have doctor as well, don't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at doctor, yeah.
Wonderful, yeah, you can add your ranks to his final result as well.
Okay, so that's a plus one.
There we go. Okay, Sappy, you just grab that there. Oh, you're quite good at this, actually. Are you sure you weren't doing any surgeries before?
Well, there's surgery and surgery. I'll let you lead the way on this one.
Oh, you seem to know your way around all the organs. It's like you godness. Okay, I'm just going through now. Here we go. We're just going to pull. Keep still. Steady hand. Okay, got 8 on top of on my doctor's 6 on top of Sapper's 1. So
15 total.
15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely enough. You do manage to remove this really slowly and keep healing this. And Julius, you're using this kind of mix of doctor skills and potentially using your magic a little bit, just warming your hands for cauterizing with the fire a little bit as you're going through.
I was going to say, Danny, as a blacksmith by trade, I would know about the cauterizing properties of heated metal, right?
You would know about the cauterizing properties of heated metal.
So while he's doing this, I've just got the sort of head of my axe, one of my axes, just over one of the fires, just trying to, you know, just heating it up, waiting for one of them to ask me to use it. Which none of them will do, because no one ever asks for anything.
That's actually a good point. Go on. Could you just put that axe there? It's like you read my mind.
How there?
Just lightly, just tap. You know, it's... Press it in just where I'm pointing. Not my finger.
I'm just going to very gingerly press it. Mm. Obviously firm enough that it...
Sizzles.
Sizzles.
Yeah.
Does he wake up yet?
You do hear a bit of a sizzle, and he does groan in response to this, but he doesn't wake up straight away. You can tell his body is reacting to fire on him. But he manages to stay, thankfully, restful while you complete surgery.
Okay. Yeah, we're just nearly there now, guys. I'm just gonna... Can I just begin to inject the opium so he just won't wake up in an absolute fright? Because, I mean, is this guy big to me?
He's massive. He's sapping size.
I'm scared of him waking up. So, not just for the fact of the pain, but just to keep him dazed.
You know that scene in Full Metal Alchemist with Alexander Armstrong and their teacher's husband? Where they're like just the two muscle men just like broing out. You know that's basically my inspiration for him seeing Sapa. I was like, yeah, two bear people. There we are. Yeah, so he's like a hairy version of Sapa.
Okay. Yeah. This seems to be like another gardener like you. Big guy. You seem to build a lot of muscles. Just to be in case, I'm just gonna give him some opium. As you gardeners seem to be
Well, those petunias ain't going to plant themselves.
I think so. Okay. Such steady hands. Oh, such an honest guy. You know, I could always trust you, Sapa. Thank you. Anyway, so yeah, I'm just going to inject the opium into him.
Mm-hmm.
And just a good dosage of opium, because he's quite a big guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And the flood of the opium into him is so enthralling that his eyes immediately span open, and you can see that good old pupil dilation time. He kind of sits up and
what happened? Where are we?
It's the opium talking, I think. He can't. There's no way I've given a man that much opium and he can still speak. Hello?
I mean, we don't know much about him. And he is considerably bigger than me. Probably about... How big are you, Sapa?
Oh, 6'6".
Yeah, I'd say about 6'6", 6'7". Fair enough, Sapa, do you think?
Oh yeah, he's a unit.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm just going to suture the rest of his wound and pretend not to hear him speak.
Now that he's more awake, he's seeing what's going on, and you can just see his breathing quite heavy, like... as he's looking down, but he's letting you do this. He's not putting up any fuss at all.
You were in a train crash? We were going through the breach, and... I mean, I don't even know where we are. Are we out the breach? It's all so dark. It's so hard to work on the flicker of this, like, campfire. Sapa, you speak to him while I do this.
What's your name, son?
Omen Lightwood.
Good name. What you doing with that collar around your neck?
Guild had reason to believe I should be without my magic. That's neither here nor there, is it?
Sapper, you in particular, can you please make a bureaucracy check?
Oh, with pleasure, Danny. Let me just check what my modifier is. Oh, it's the fat zero.
Classic.
Oh, it's a 10.
Ooh. You actually recognise him from your previous employment, where he was a big part of leading the protests of using necromancy to fight the undead in Spain. So you remember that Spain has been completely overrun by the undead. And one of the ideas was to, rather than simply fight these undead, because every time anyone went in, they'd eventually get killed and just add to the numbers there. They would instead focus their efforts on using necromancy to control the undead that were already present.
Okay.
And have them fight each other. Now, this man was quite outspoken against that because he believed that necromancy still shouldn't have been used in such a way that they should have been trying to abolish the use of necromancy, because it was obviously a guild-led decision, something that was them abusing their powers and being hypocritical.
Okay. What's this chant's name again?
Omen Lightwood.
Omen, that name. Oh, it's familiar. You weren't in Madrid by any chance.
Were you guys gardeners in Madrid? Oh, you guys.
Julius, I think you should be quiet for a second.
Oh, okay.
I was.
Yeah, I remember you. You were a critic of the guild's use of necromancy.
Well, why wouldn't I be? Bloody idiots trying to use it. That was the whole reason it got started in the first place.
If you want my two cents, dead should stay dead. Dead is dead, isn't it?
Dead is dead. You're right, sir. I like him.
Yeah. Yeah, the guild. Yeah. Yeah.
So pray tell, sir. You appear to be a magic user of some description. If necromancy is not your preferred school of magic, what is?
Enchantments mostly. But I mean, to be honest, I didn't even use magic much. It was just that I spoke out against necromancy and they declared me an enemy sorcerer.
Oh, damn, the guild.
Does that mean you're an arcanist? Oh no, saves an arcanist.
Shh. Yeah, right. They'd love to have me.
I wouldn't go around mentioning that sort of thing or even accusing anyone of it, Julius. Because you never know, it might give you out and make it sound like you support the guild. And I don't think they're none too popular this side.
I don't know, it's just... you know.
Well. Oh, if you think they're not popular this side, they got more control over there than they do on Earth.
Well, sir, you're in good company, as we are not on the best of terms with the guild ourselves.
I'm fairly sure they want us dead.
No, they wouldn't want us dead. They just misunderstand us, you know.
I mean, I only say that because they have tried to kill us on several occasions.
No, it was just a misunderstanding, you know. I feel like, and I'm happy that the guild's got control over here. These soul stones can go crazy. Lady Justice would never be like that. She was one of my heroes when I was younger. Oh, and the judge, oh, I heard stories about him.
I'm going to give a sidelong look at Sapper, just so that just says, yep, that's Julius.
Well, you guys help me get across the other side, and I will owe you a favour. I can tell you now, a favour will get you quite far on that side.
I mean... I tell you what, I think you probably owe us a favour already, not wanting to be insensitive, but my companion, Julius here, has saved your life.
Oh, well, I am his best friend, you know, me and Owain, he loves me.
Yes, quite.
Julius, you can perform a scrutiny check if you like.
Okay. I'm just so excited that he's calling me his companion. We're companions. It's a one of masks.
I'm not going to contest either, so the deliberate attempt was not to call you companion. It was a deliberate attempt not to call you friend.
Yeah, oh. you definitely do get that vibe.
No, he's just a tough man. He plays it tough, you know. He gave me some of his alcohol, and that's, you know, that's big.
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with you there. You're on a cracking job, lad.
Oh, now, thank you.
If only you could help me take this off. And he dings the thick metal collar around his neck.
But wasn't that put on by the guild? I can't go against the guild like that, you know.
Great no, people. But I can. Let's have a look at that.
Bro, if you can do a counterspelling or engineering check, please.
Let's do a counterspelling.
Ooh. That looks like a black joker to me there, Elon.
Oh, no.
You see a button. And you immediately assume that this is the release mechanism.
Yeah, well, what it is. I mean, I know my way around these sort of things. I'm a blacksmith. I use this sort of stuff all the time.
And there's always a release button.
And there's always a way like that this sort of stuff is built in.
Okay.
Like safety features.
Okay. I really like this guy.
I like him too. I think he's great. But I've got to do what the role has said. And the role has said that I'm about to press the button. That is clearly the release button.
Yep. You press the release button.
I'm just going to go, right, here we go. This will sort it. Pop.
All right, everyone roll a defense flip.
Okay. That's a 9 total.
Mm-hmm. I got a 7, 5 on top, so...
8, nope, 10.
8, 10. What? No, 7 and 5.
It's 12. I'm not even wording, mate.
I have got a 5 total.
5 total, so 5, 7 and 12. Julius, you having kind of been a bit more aware of the guild's practices through fanaticism...
What? From being a
fan? see that he's reaching for the control collar, and you know if you see one of these things, you scarper and you duck for cover.
Oh, I know!
The other two of you are less lucky, and you're each going to take some heavy damage, I'm afraid.
Damn.
The explosion ruptures this man's head. Immediately, he's completely dead. The shards of the collar are flying outwards. So can you each take a damage flip, please? This is going to be 2, 3, 6 damage.
Down.
So, weak, moderate, severe, let's find out.
Weak.
Weak.
So it's low good on this.
Low is perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Low is what we want.
11 is not much good.
I am going to cheat with this bad boy. With my one of rams.
Hot damn! Okay, yeah, 2 damage each still as these shards fly into you from very close range. Thomas managed to move out the way as well. Obviously, he's had a little bit longer with Dahlia, so he's a bit more used to control colours. The headless form of this man topples to the ground, and you feel the ground quake a little bit at an impact.
Owain, what have you done? I just put like
that
400
was...
milligrams of opium in him.
A weird release key.
At least he probably didn't even feel it when he went. I mean, he was an arcanist anyway, but tried so hard. You need to stop.
Your nice new clothes are bloodied.
When will you stop murdering? Why can't you be more like Sapper?
Everyone I touch dies. And I just hold my hands up in front of my face, just like, oh, why am I so powerfully destructive?
You need to be more like Sapper. He uses his power for good. He's never killed anyone. Look at the man.
I don't mean to.
You killed another gardener.
Why, gods? Why have you cursed me like this?
I am making sure that the boy is not looking at this kind of beheaded mess.
He is just shocked, even still. He hasn't ever seen a control collar go off yet before, and he did manage to catch the initial glimpse of it, but you have covered his eyes from the toppling.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, don't worry, little boy. Justice would have got to him. You know, the guild, they always get who they want, and, you know, this is what we would, you know... They got him. Through our wine, I think.
Julius?
But yeah. Yeah?
The guild are not what you think they are. I think we're quite well established on that at this point. And I think you're going to need to have a wake-up call soon.
What?
I mean, you notice that he's almost non-reactive to the event that's just happened. There's been quite a lot that's happened in the past few days. I mean, you've literally just survived a monster explosion. So as this toppling giant has fallen to the ground... Owen, you notice as you're kind of like staring through your hands that on his left hand he's wearing a ring that you didn't notice before on him, as if it's just kind of appeared as he died.
I'm gonna just roll over, just have a look, and just slip it off his finger and just look at it, mate.
Did you just, like, get on the ground, curl up into the fetal position, roll over to him, and take off his ring?
I've literally just, like, slightly dazed by the whole thing. I'm just rolling over, just like, what's that? Oh. That's just something to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So bring myself back into consciousness.
Sure, so yeah, everything's kind of like a haze around you, and as you're focusing in on this, can you make a bureaucracy check, please?
Well, that's a six, so...
Essex. Yeah, I'm afraid that's kind of all it really looks like to you.
Sapper, you knew him. Does this mean anything to you?
What does it resemble? Sorry, Danny, I missed that.
It's a cursive letter H that's made up of berries.
Could I flip to see if it means anything to me?
Yeah, absolutely. Take a bureaucracy check.
Six.
So six total. Yeah, I'm afraid you can't quite tell what it is at the moment anyway.
I'm sorry, Owen. No. It don't mean nothing to me.
Tommy's going to pop it on my finger. Right. Let's get this back home. Oh. Once I'm just going to sit up with a loud groan. Any more of those fresh clothes? These ones are a little dirty.
There are quite a lot of clothes around. Though you can't see any more that would provide the protection that these ones would against the hypothermia. So despite how bloodied they are, they're probably still your best bet at surviving. Unless in your shock you would like to switch your clothes still.
No, I think I'll stick with what I'm wearing.
Sure.
Okay, can I have some clothes? It's really cold.
Yeah, Sapper gave you some just earlier.
Oh, nice, I'll just put them on then. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh yeah, they're really nice clothes actually, looking at them on you.
Gentlemen, I know this is not the most opportune time, but we still have our own survival to worry about.
Yeah, Sapper's right. We should move on.
Well, that is my question. Do we wait out the night here, or do we try and find somewhere else?
You're welcome to attempt to. I mean, you have got a fireplace here to keep yourselves warm. Though you are quite aware of what lies just behind the portal, that you aren't sure how long it's going to be comfortable snacking on what's on the other side of it.
Ooh, yeah.
You want my opinion, gents? I think we should possibly move on. I don't think I'd want to stick around here to deal with that thing again. Because, I'll be honest, last time I came across it, scared the living bejesus out of me.
I'm with Owine, even though he just killed someone that we could have got help from. I'm not holding it against you or anything.
Now, let's not go pointing fingers. These things happen in my experience.
Quick release button can always be a self-detonation. He's an iron worker.
And you know what? He's not going to make the same mistake again. I am sure of that.
Oh, Sappy, you're such a good person. You solve so many quarrels by your conflict resolution. I could learn a few things.
I feel that is my role in this group.
Yeah. A conflict resolution man who seems to just use his non-violent ways of solving things. I respect that, Sappa, yes. Sorry. I'm sorry, Sappa. Let's go.
Yes, I think we do need to move on.
The energy of the breach behind you provides little light beyond the first few hundred yards. And looking back, Sappa saw that light dwindle further. Something was cutting the energy in half. Slicing the portal. No, not cutting. Covering. Bands of black and white slithered from the top of the portal. A tendril that reaches down towards the rails. Then another one. And another. The way back entirely eclipsed by whatever manner of creature that could survive inside the breach. The dimming of the portal, however, removed the light pollution enough to see another medley of indescribable colour from up further ahead. It seemed that the railroad dipped down somewhere, as all that could be seen was a mild glow rather than the source. It was, however, a light at the end of the tunnel. The man hovering over a table littered with threads glared in confusion, his lean finger scoring a specific line that later entwined with four more threads, knotting tightly at a fifth of the table's length. He'd been monitoring this particular spool for some time, and had expected it to run its course along the length of the table. But after this newfound knot, the thread did not continue. Only a few fibres in its colour proceeded, wrapping around one of those intersecting threads as its destiny was choked from its main bulk, its end a mottled and messy fraying. His eyes narrowed. Something had changed. Something unpredicted. He hated to be surprised. That's it for part one. But as I'm sure you're aware, the Fated are far from safe. Join us next time as the group traverse the space between worlds. Manifestations will put their will to the test, and Sappa takes a trip down memory lane. In the conclusion of The Void is Always Darker. Until then, stay safe, listeners. No, really, stay safe.